Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. On Monday, as most of you probably know, Kendrick Lamar's album Damn received the Pulitzer Prize for Music. It was news because it was the first time the award was given to an artist outside the jazz or classical genres. Since most of you already know this happened, we thought we might do a deeper dive into the album and a little of Kendrick Lamar's other work with some song experts and some thoughts from NPR's hip-hop writer, Rodney Carmichael. Rodney, welcome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
And before we even listen to any clips, just by reading the song titles, and I want to make this interesting for people who are already Kendrick Lamar fans and the totally uninitiated, who maybe even heard his name for the first time this week. You by reading the song titles alone, you get a sense that Lamar's dealing with big issues. Titles like God and Blood and Fear.
Yeah, this is a really epic album in scope. It's really biblical in scope. You know, those titles, in a lot of ways, they're the kind of titles that you would find, or at least the themes that you find written about in the Bible. He digs deep in this album, and it's really amazing that the Pulitzer organization, as an institution, is recognizing him.
So here's 40 seconds from the song Fear.
I probably die from witnesses leaving me false accused. I probably die from thinking that me and your hood was cool. Or maybe die from pressing the line, acting too extra. Or maybe die because these smokers are more than desperate. I probably die from one of these pets and blue badges. Body slammed in black and white paint, my bones snapping. Or maybe die from panic, or die from being too lax. Or die for waiting on it, die cause I'm moving too fast. I probably die trying to buy weed at the apartments. I probably die trying to defuse two homies arguing. I probably die cause that's what you do when you're 17. My worries in a hurry, I wish I controlled things.
Whoa, that's heavy. You know, I'm thinking somebody's on a dance floor somewhere swaying away and not realizing that the artist is listing all the ways that he might die young because of conditions in this country.
Yeah, well, this is definitely not dance music by any means. Hip hop it is, pop music it is. But he covers this really heavy terrain within the scope of pop music, and this song in particular I really like because he basically splits his life up into three parts and looks at his own process of evolution with fear. It's all weighted around the fear of God, but you know, he starts from childhood and fearing his mother to teenage years and fearing, you know, growing up in South Central and Compton and gang life and everything that comes with that to being, you know, where he is when he puts out his first album, and the fear of success or just the weight of success and what that means for a young man who, you know, in a lot of ways was unprepared to take on the world from coming from where he came from.
And listeners, if we have any Kendrick Lamar fans right now who want to call up and say what his music means to you, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. We'll play another clip. This is printed as XXX, but I think they call this song X-rated. Is that right?
Yeah, you can call it whichever is easier. You know, triple X. But yes, or America. You know, which I think is the subtitle, but definitely a heavy theme of the song.
Here's a minute.
Featuring you two.
Hail Mary, Jesus and Joseph, the great American flag is wrapped and dragged with explosives. Compulsive disorder, sons and daughters, barricaded blacks and borders. Look what you taught us, it's murder on my street, your street, back streets, Wall Street, corporate offices, banks, employees and bosses with homicidal thoughts, Donald Trump's in office. We lost Barack and promised to never doubt him again. But is America honest or do we bask in sin? Pass the gin, a mix it with American blood, then bash your men. You crippin' or you married to blood, I'll ask again. Oops, accident, it's nasty when you set us up, then roll a dice, then bet us up. You overnight the big rifles, then tell Fox to be scared of us. Gang members or terrorists, etc., etc. America's reflections of me, that's what America does.
And again, extremely political and explicitly so, referring to Trump and Obama and all the other words. You want to talk about that song a little?
Yeah, I love that last line that he goes out on when he says, America's reflections of me. That's what a mirror does. You know, he has another line in his previous album, To Pimp a Butterfly, where he makes this comparison between gang life and, you know, political parties in America, where he refers to Republicans and Democrats, you know, meaning the Democratic Party versus the Republican Party, the Bloods
like
versus
the
Crips.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, like, he's really genius at showing, boiling down to a level that everybody can understand, that a lot of the kind of like the way that he's grown up and the way that it's demonized in a lot of ways, gang culture, he's able to flip that mirror and show us how society at large is really a reflection of all of that. And I think that's what this whole song is about. It's excuse me. It's about showing that America and everything that he's experienced as a young man is a reflection of what's deeply rooted in this country.
And musically, there's so much we could say. One thing is how sort of cross-genre some of this is. So here's just a short clip from the beginning of the last song on Damn, Duckworth.
It was always me versus the world, until I found it's me versus me. Stays on earth. We're gonna put it in reverse. Darling, I told you many times, and now I'm telling you once again, just to remind you, sweetheart, that my
oh, Lamar, Hail Mary, your mirror, one of times is hard. Dark. Pray with the hooligan, shadows all in the dark. Fellowship with demons dark and relatives, I'm a star.
So there's a cappella in there, there's R&B, there's a whiff of opera. It's you know, this is musically very rich.
Yeah, so here's what's crazy. I got to interview Ninth Wonder, who produced this song, and it's interesting because it actually contains three different songs that Ninth Wonder gave to Kendrick Lamar, and Kendrick Lamar on his own decided to sandwich them all together into three. And so each song has a sample in it that is from a different era, it's from a different genre, and it's from a different country. You know, there's a soul sample that we hear in the beginning from like 60s, 50s era American soul. Then it leaps to an Australian soul group that's a contemporary group. Then it leaps to something totally different. I want to say it's a Norwegian sample, but again, it just really runs the gamut and just shows how his musical mind kind of works in terms of melding all that stuff together.
If you're just joining us, we're diving a little deeper into a number of the tracks on the Pulitzer Prize winning album Damn by Kendrick Lamar, the first non-jazz, non-classical album ever to win the Pulitzer for Music, with Rodney Carmichael, NPR's hip-hop writer, and a whole lot of people on the phones before we get to some more clips are calling to sing the praises of the singer. And one of them is Zenobia in Brooklyn. Zenobia, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I would like to say that I'm so proud of Kendrick Lamar. Like, he is ahead of his time. And with the music that we have today, you can see what's on the billboards. And a lot of the music is not really that good to me, but it shows of the profanity and the that word I'm trying to say. But with Kendrick Lamar, like, his words is very deep and it's very touching. And my favorite song on the album is God. And there's so many key points that he hit, and I'm just so very proud of him. He ahead of his time. He's like with Nina Simone and Maya Angelou. I kind of put them together because he write his music, and you can feel it. You understand?
I do. Zenobia, thank you. Stephanie in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm in Princeton, and I'm a practical theologian, and one of the big draws for me for Kendrick Lamar is his ability to transcend topics that deal with theology, that are the questions that are relevant across generations. So I think that he very effectively brings together some of the larger human questions, and he gives context in ways that, let's say in a congregation that I serve, that whether you're 70 or 80 or in your 20s or in high school, that you can relate to. He's very incisive. And his command of language, for me as a writer, is just incomparable. It's going to be amazing to watch his body of work expand and add to the American corpus of writing.
So for you as a theologian, any particular religious reference in the lyrics that you would shout out as an example?
Well, yeah, so I'm a Princeton Seminary graduate, so that's a Christian institution. And his direct reference to Jesus and Mary are things that I'd like for multiple reasons to see discussed. Because for me, when we think about the relationship between Mary and Jesus, a mother who is going to watch her son be martyred, there's relevance for what's happening culturally as we as African-American women see our sons offered in sacrifice as a result of hatred in the United States, or just a lack of love, lack of understanding, a lack of cultural relativity and the ways in which we're criminalized. And so too was Jesus.
So like the beginning of the clip we just played from Triple X America, it starts with Hail Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, the great American flag. So there's the Christian reference and the U.S. reference right at the beginning of the song from the lyric we played. Hail Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, the great American flag is wrapped in drag with explosives, compulsive disorder, sons and daughters, barricaded blocks and borders. Look what you taught us. And that seemed to me to cycle back around and sort of blame Christianity. Mary, Jesus, and Joseph. The thought that seems to end, look what you taught us.
Right, and I'm not offended in the least by that critique, because what he's doing is looking at the notions of manifest destiny and supersessionism, the thought that Westernized Christianity has replaced the relationship of Jews with God, and the violence that is wedded to quote-unquote Christianity. I studied at an institution where the premises that supported the enslavement of my people was constructed here at this campus. And so I don't think that I can be effective in reaching people with a message that is good news and that is loving without first acknowledging some of the aberrant behavior. Mostly aberrant behavior that is so closely tied to Christianity.
Rodney Carmichael, so, want to get back in on this?
In the least, I think it's a good text to teach from, particularly when I want to reach those who are resistant.
Stephanie, thank you so much. We so appreciate your call. How about that, Rodney? A theologian calling in.
Yeah, she was breaking it down. That was good stuff. I mean, and that's what Kendrick does so well. I mean, he's a secular artist who has really figured out how to do things that gospel artists haven't, in terms of being able to tackle non-secular territory and, you know, do it without preaching, but with being really honest about, in terms of how he grapples with his own faith and what it means to walk a faith walk in what he feels like is such a faithless society and faithless time. A lot of those things that she's alluding to and throughout the album are things that, you know, Kendrick has given all of us room and space and questions to think about in terms of, you know, what it means to be, whether you're a Christian or whatever your faith might be, and how that operates in the real world today. You know, it's an interesting album. It really kind of tormented me, actually, when it came out, because, you know, I'm someone who grew up Christian and haven't practiced that for a long time. But through a lot of the questions he was asking and things he was saying, I found myself kind of going back and grappling with my own faith, or, you know, maybe how it's evolved over the years and what it means in this day and age and context, like she referred to, with the state of Black people and the evolution that we've endured in this country.
We'll continue in a minute with NPR's hip-hop writer Rodney Carmichael and listen to some more music from the now Pulitzer Prize-winning Kendrick Lamar. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're taking a little bit of a deeper dive, to some degree, for those of you who are already Kendrick Lamar fans, and to some degree for those of you who were not familiar with Kendrick Lamar before you heard the news this week that he became the first non-classical or non-jazz artist ever to win the Pulitzer Prize for music. And we're doing this with the help of NPR's hip-hop writer Rodney Carmichael. You wrote that this is only his third best album out of three, in your opinion. And so we pulled a couple of tracks from the previous two, and we're gonna play, and I don't know if you want to set this up or if we should just go to the music, one from Good Kid, Mad City, again, something with an explicitly social issue title, The Art of Peer Pressure. You want to direct our listeners into this in any way if they're not familiar with it?
Well, yeah, just to clarify now, I wouldn't say that this is his third best album. I think that a lot of people feel like his last album, To Pimp a Butterfly, is maybe his best work. But I tend to think that this work is genius in ways that we're still uncovering and discovering.
The album that actually won the Pulitzer, the new one, Damn, or the latest one, from last year.
And we're about to listen to a track from Good Kid, Mad City, which is his major label debut. And it's really a narrative that kind of puts him in the middle of growing up in gangland territory in Compton and kind of, you know, coming to terms with that. It's really a coming of age story, his coming of age story.
And laugh about it, hey, really I'm a peacemaker, but I'm with the homies right now.
And mama used to say,
my man's gonna burn you out.
Seems to be telling a story in that song of being sort of dragged into bad behavior that he doesn't maybe want to be involved in as he's, you know, back home, hanging with the homies back home, and the title about peer pressure.
Yeah, and this is something that Kendrick does a lot in albums, which is, I'm glad we're having this conversation and this focus on lyrics, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen people who don't really understand rap or Kendrick specifically, who are kind of, you know, surprised that it's getting this kind of, you know, lauded, you know, award treatment, mm-hmm. that will, you know, out of context, pull lyrics out of place and, you know, they might have profanity in them or whatever, and they can't understand what it is about that, you know, could be redeemable. But a lot of times Kendrick is playing characters or using himself as a character in a larger narrative that, you know, like any story, is supposed to gift us with some sort of bigger or deeper meaning within the whole context of the story. You can't just go in and read a line from Kendrick and assume that on its face that's exactly what it is. It's a bigger picture that he's painting.
And should I have said major release, major label release, instead of saying three albums?
Yes, because he has more albums before this. You know, the last three albums have been his major label releases, and actually there was a fourth that came out after the Pimp a Butterfly that wasn't a studio release. It was remixes and kind of songs that had been left off of the Pimp a Butterfly. But yeah, he's been around for a good decade. And his whole catalog is rich.
Another listener with a testimonial and talking about why Kendrick Lamar matters. Jess in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jess.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Hi, my name is Jessa, and I have a baby, Amalia, and she was the first baby to come to the Green Space last year.
Yay!
And, yeah, and I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, but I want to say thank you so much. Just like when you cover the Oscar documentaries, which I never really would have seen or known about, I really don't know that I would have listened to Kendrick Lamar. So this is a great opportunity to hear, and I definitely want to hear the full album. And I was really drawn to Kanye West like 10 years ago when he first came out with his first albums, and I loved the references he had to God and Jesus and the church music, but then it just seemed like he didn't really follow that path and became so ego-driven. But I'm really impressed with Kendrick Lamar so far, and I think he really represents the new face of protest in this country, and I'm so excited to hear this today. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for being our first listener who took us up on the offer to call in.
Yay!
There's your baby.
There she is.
Making her radio debut. What's her name?
Amalia.
Hi, Amalia.
Hi.
You have a mom with open ears. Thanks, Jessa.
Thank you.
So that's great. And that's, Rodney, I guess, what happens. And one of the reasons that they even decide to give a Pulitzer Prize to any work of art or, you know, in the arts categories or any piece of journalism, which is more what people generally think of with Pulitzer
right.
Prizes, so that they get exposed to larger audiences and the good mm-hmm. that's in them gets spread further and wider.
No doubt. And, you know, it's funny. I think that there's a lot of the conversation around this win for Kendrick has been about what this means for hip hop. You know, to finally get this level of recognition, you know, and this album in particular, this is an album that was up for Album of the Year at the Grammys in the main category and didn't get it. And a lot of people felt like it should have. No shots intended toward Bruno Mars for that win. But I think that to see an institution like the Pulitzer recognize, you know, like the literary genius and the musical genius of this album, it kind of puts a lot of institutions on alert. It continues a trend in a lot of ways because, you know, in 2017, we saw a lot of hip hop first in terms of institutional recognition. Jay-Z got Songwriters Hall of Fame induction first in hip hop. LL Cool J got inducted into or got honors, Kennedy Center honors, first time a rap artist got that.
Right.
So the institutions that tell us, that measure the weight of culture in America, are really starting to pay attention to hip hop. They're late, but it's still pretty honorable and pretty cool.
So we'll play one more track. And this is from the album that you said is your favorite, To Pimp a Butterfly. And in fact, this is a track that President Obama said publicly, confirm that I'm right about this, that was his favorite song of 2015.
Yeah, I do remember hearing him say that.
And it's the track from To Pimp a Butterfly called How Much a Dollar Cost.
Walked out the gas station, a homeless man with a sandy tan complexion asked me what 10 grand, stressing about dry land, deep water, powder, blue skies that crack open, a piece of crack that he wanted. I knew he was smoking, he begged and pleaded, asked me to feed him twice, I didn't believe it, told him beat it, contributed money just for his pipe, I couldn't see it. He said, my son, temptation is one thing that I've defeated, listen to me, I want a single bill from you, nothing less, nothing more. I told him I didn't have it, then closed my door, tell me how much a dollar cost.
Why do you like it? Why did Barack Obama like it?
Well, let's before we even talk about that, let's talk about Barack Obama's impact on how we look at hip hop. I mean, this is obviously the first African American president, but he's also the first president to open up the White House to hip hop culture in the way that he did. I mean, there are countless rappers, rap artists that came through the White House, and not always just to perform, right? He counseled with them. He had talks and conversations with them. There are pictures of Kendrick Lamar in the Oval Office with them. He called the Roots his band. You know, this is the same band that backs Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show. And so I think in a lot of ways we might see institutions responding to the embrace that the president, the former president, gave. You know, when there's no bigger institution in America than the White House, right? So if he is embracing hip hop culture on that level, it kind of makes it hard for other institutions to continue to overlook the culture.
There may be one institution bigger than the White House, Coachella.
Aha! Yeah. Well, you got to call it Baychella now, right?
Oh, that's right. So that's the other story. It's pretty hilarious to see them twinned, right? The Pulitzer Prize Committee gave the prize for music to Kendrick Lamar and Coachella, and somehow this is being played as on the same pedestal, giving Beyonce headline status. Like, that's also groundbreaking.
Yeah, which it is. I mean, she's the first black woman to headline Coachella a year after they originally invited her. And she made the most of that opportunity in terms of the message that she sent and you know, the panoply of black culture, which I read in one really good review. I can't remember what publication that was. But yeah, it's amazing, and they happened in the same week. It's crazy.
So Rodney Carmichael, NPR's hip hop writer, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, Brian, for having me on.
And we'll go out with Beyonce and Kendrick together from Lemonade, the song Freedom.
Yeah, I keep running, jumping the aqueduct, fire marshals in hazard dust, smoke on the path of us. Mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, try for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me, obviously, gotta be, I can be, sword and I gotta be, known for me, ride for me, nation and prophecy, throw on me, driving me wicked, spirit is driving me like, yeah. Open correctional gates in the high desert. Yeah. Open our mind as we cast away oppression. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. You cry my name inside these concrete, I'm praying for every
freedom, freedom.